Okay, so as I said, we are on Chet Amud Bet. That's halfway down, 8b, on Omar Rava. So we've been talking a lot about obviously sort of paying back with land, particularly with land that is sort of there is basically in place of money, right? Where a person can't pay back with money in all sorts of cases. So this is whether as we said, whether it was a loan, whether we're talking about divorce payments, or we're talking about damages, all sorts of reasons why someone may have a claim on your lands if they can't get their payments financially. And then we sort of branched out to talk about what if those lands were sold on. So because lands are what we call nechasim meshubadim in halacha, means that lands are, have a sort of a have a certain sort of almost like a claim on them already. Then those lands actually will still sort of retain, to an extent, the ability to be claimed from, even though they've now, the ownership has now moved on to somebody else. So we're talking about all sorts of ramifications of that. That's what we've been discussing. Last week we had a little debate between Rava and Abaye, where we talked about, what was the phrase that they used? Where they said, okay, I don't remember the exact phrase that was used, but the sort of difference between the two was whether you actually have to sort of go, meaning when you sell on the land to somebody else, does it include all of those? Kol zechut shetavo liyado, meaning all of the ability of the original person goes along with the land that is sold, or is it simply that this land is sold just as land and then you have to claim back? Anyway, we'll leave that aside. That was really last week's discussion. And now we move on to another couple of sort of points that are raised by both Rava and Abaye on this sort of general subject. So Omar Rava, as I said, right halfway down. Ruven Shemachar Sedosa, Kol Sedosa Vashima. So we've been talking a lot about someone who sells off all their land, right? Nothing left. So he sells off all of his land to Shimon. V'halach Shimon U'machar Sode Achas Lelevi. And then he sells on, so the buyer then sells on the other land to, sorry, just one of those lands to Levi, to somebody else. Now we're talking about, when we say all and one, we're referring sort of to the categories, more than a field per se. So we're saying that he sold on land in a sense in each of the three categories that we've discussed. It is Beninus and Ziburas. And then Shimon sells on one of those categories to Levi. So I think Rashi clarifies he says Vahahi Sadeh Beninus Havoi, must have been the in-between land, because we're going to be talking about loan payments which pay back from the in-between lands. So he sold on the in-between lands. And now this debtor comes along. He wants to claim back. He wants to claim back from Reuben. So Rotsam is there. Obviously, Reuben doesn't have any money, as in all of our cases so far. And the question is, which of the lands does he claim from? So the Gemara, Rava suggests Rotsam Mizeh Gover, Rotsam Mizeh Gover. That you get the choice. You get the choice. You get to choose whether you take from Shimon or whether you take from Levi. Velo Omron Ella the Zoban. Sorry, and now the Gemara clarifies. Velo Omron, he only says this. Rava is only of this opinion that you can choose which one you take from. Ella the Zoban Beinanis. When it was Beinanis, when it was this middle land that was sold. Avol Zoban Idis Vziboris. If you were to have sold on, if Shimon would have sold on the Idis and the Ziboris, right, levels one or three or both, then lo, that doesn't work. That wouldn't work. I.e., what would he have to do? He would just be able to claim, presumably, the Beinanis from Shimon, right? The first person you only have to go in a sense. He goes to Reuben. Reuben doesn't have anything. Reuben says, I sold it all to Shimon. So he goes to Shimon. So if Shimon has sold on the Beinanis, then he's able to choose. If Shimon still has the Beinanis, even if he sold on everything else, then he obviously would end up taking from Shimon, from that first original buyer, and that's what he would have to do. So again, Robert is clarifying that it's only when you sell on the land that he should have taken, then you are able to, that's where you're able to claim from. And this is different, sorry, the reason why we're doing this in multiple stages is just to go back, as we've discussed earlier, what if the seller themselves only sells on part of their land, right? Let's say the seller sells on their bainanus and their edis and their ziburis. So then we've said, the rules would be slightly different. So for instance, in that case, if Reuven, for example, only sold on bainanus, then because they are the person who actually owes the debt, then the debtor would just take the idis or the ziburis that they have, right? But only because they sold it on to another person, this third party, this buyer, Shimon, who has now bought the land, because he bought all three of the lands, it's true that he took on the credit. But now that he sells on the middle land, he doesn't have the same exact status as Reuben, as this original debtor, sort of person who owes the debt, and therefore, in a sense, he could end up choosing which land you want to take from, where exactly you want to take this land from. Okay, so the Gemara, as we said, clarified that this is when you sold on the bainanus, but not the idis or ziburis. The Omar Levi, right? Because this third party, Levi, who is now bought, he says, Lahochi Daiki. This is exactly why I was very careful. When I bought this land from Shimon, I knew that there was potential credit that was owed, that someone might come knocking at my door looking for these lands, and that is why I avoided the bainanus. I knew that there was this loan that had existed in the past. I was worried that Reuben would end up with no money to pay back the loan, and therefore I did my homework, I did my research, and that is exactly why I left the bainanus behind. Vezovni idis v'ziburis. Right, I specifically bought the lands which were not relevant to this loan payment, i.e. I left the bainanus behind for you specifically for that reason. Okay, so now the Gemara suggests a different thing. But afilu zovan bainanus, maybe you could suggest that even if you did sell on the bainanus, that Rav actually would still agree that even if you did sell on the bainanus, afilu zovan bainanus nami, lo omron ella delo shir bainanus kivasei. He says, we're only talking about where you don't leave a similar type of bainanus, right? The lo motzi amarle hinachti lecha makom ligvut. It says because there you do not have the claim that actually I left you land to take from. It's a very strong claim to be able to say I left you something there. Then don't come to me, right? I'm further down the line. You only go further down the line if there's nothing earlier on. But he's saying I left you some bainanus there. So then you cannot, then that doesn't work, right? So i.e. you have to have sold all the bainanus. He has no bainanus left, but if you left some there, then that would be okay. I did look around and I didn't find, I tried to find if somebody thought that the word kivate was significant, the fact that it has to be almost the exact same bainanus, because we've seen in the past that bainanus can be a little bit subjective, right? In between means in between, so how in between is in between, right? That means different things, meaning different types of land. You can have one field which is considered bainanus in one context but might be considered something else in a different context. So I didn't find the answer to that, but I wondered if it had to be specifically the exact same level, you know, even within this sort of broad middle category. So I don't know. We'll have to leave that for another time and see what we can find there. But as I said, but coming back to our point, so again, the suggestion is that even within Robert's scenario, where the bainanus was sold on, if only some of the bainanus was sold on to this second buyer, then you still go to the first buyer. Your responsibility is still to go to the first buyer because he still has some bainanus land. Again, coming back to this phrase, hinachti lecha makom ligvi, right? Because I have left you land to take from, and therefore, since I've left you some land, I have to go back to the. Legabe Shimon, right? So you have to go back to there. Avashir Benanis Kavase Gabe Shimon. If you did leave some land, then Logobi Mine, the Motsyama Lapa, Minachti because again he has this claim that he can say you're able to take the you're able to go and get the land from somewhere else. Okay. All right, any comments, questions, thoughts? Okay, so that's Robbo's initial, initial sort of different scenario. Yes, Phil.
So, Rabbi, is it implicit in what we're learning that there was some mechanism whereby a purchaser from Levi could find out whether or not the land was liened? Because, I mean, the reason why I ask is this: in common law in this country, there's this concept that if you're a bona fide purchaser and you don't know about the impediment on the thing that you're buying, you can buy free of it.
Just explain it to me one more time.
There's a concept that in certain circumstances, if you don't know that a lien exists, or that somebody's got a claim over something,
right,
and you buy, and this is really tangible property, you buy it in a market, in an open market, anybody can go to, and you give value for it, we've got this concept, you buy free of the lien. With land, it's slightly different, because there's some mechanism of, you know, historically, there was always some mechanism of showing that you had some kind of right over the land as a creditor, or...
Right.
And these days you can register your claim against the land. Are we to assume that the buyer can do here is inquire of the seller? Because it isn't just the seller he has to inquire of, is it? I mean, because it could be the seller, right, to the seller, or the seller to the seller to the seller.
Well, okay, that's true, but even in the original, let's say take it back. The honest answer is I'm still trying to figure it out. And actually each Gemara that we come across, so we'll see more Gemaras here today, which begin, there does seem to be, yes, an assumption that in a sense that you should have figured it out. Now there does seem to be a bit of an assumption that you should have figured it out. Now, whether or not that's strong enough that it means that you have no claim on the meaning. Let's put it like this: I buy. Let's take Reuben, the example of Reuben. Okay, so Reuben has bought this. Sorry, Shimon has bought this land from Reuben, right? So yes, Shimon should try and find out whether, and it's Shimon's responsibility to try and find out. Now, does that mean that Reuben can say, well, you should have figured it out, and since you didn't, then I have no, then even though someone has now taken this land, you know, as part of the debt, then you have no claim over me. I don't think that's the case. We're going to see the difference between basically a sale of with what we call achrayus and without achrayus. So achrayus does seem to be that there has like a stronger. A stronger responsibility to sort of take back, but I still think, and I haven't, I think we need to see more Gemara actually to try and figure this out. I still think that even a land without achrayus, you still get some sort of claim back against the person who you bought it from.
I don't know whether I'm making this up, but I've had some dim memory that if you were some kind of a creditor over land, you could erect a sort of stone stelo that a sort of mark of your right against someone else's land in some cultures. I've read that somewhere. I think I have. I might be making it up. Well, that you could put a marker down, a stone marker down, and that indicated that you had some kind of right or interest in the land that it was on.
Yeah, for sure. Oh well, we're going to see. Okay. Let's hold off on a lot of these questions. I think this is what we're going to talk about a lot over the next daf or so.
Okay.
This is what you're describing sounds to me like what we would call a chazaka, which is, as you see, some sort of claim. the truth is that these are the reason why these sorts of things are very complicated is because as we've known from the past is tend to be Gemaras in different places that talk about these issues in different and you sort of have to try and figure out. So some of those Gemaras appear in what we call Bava Basra, right? So Bava Basra is a lot to do with claims on land, particularly in the third chapter where there is relatively famous, you're watching along, relatively famous idea of Gimel Shonim, where if you live on a land, it gets misunderstood. But there is a Mishnah which people like to quote. I've heard it taken a little bit out of context. But there is a Mishnah people like to quote where if you live on land for 3 years, right, then actually that is enough to claim it as your own land to an extent. That's not quite enough. You do have to have what's called a ta'ana. So you have to have some sort of original claim. You have to at least exhibit in some way, or at least make some realistic claim that you did buy it originally, or that it was given to you as a gift or something. You can't just say, meaning I think there is I don't remember if this is in England or in America. I believe there's some sort of law elsewhere where if you live somewhere for 10 years and no one claims and you can just take it, even if you say you never bought it or you never actually owned it. So this is slightly different. So we're going to get into chazaka and those sorts of things. And as you said, Phil, if you sort of put something up, if you put up a stone pole or a fence or something along those lines, that yes, that does count as a claim, but it's not, I mean, that's not all you do. You can't just sort of come in and stick up a post and then all of a sudden everything's fine. So it's a part of a bigger picture, right, that the Bet Din is going to try and build to figure out what exactly is going on, right? We're sort of piecing together the pieces of the puzzle. Is there a contract here? Are there witnesses to anything, right? As you say, is there a chazaka? Do people see that you have been doing work on the land? That counts towards something, but it doesn't necessarily count as everything. So that's definitely something that we're going to all of these things, I think, are things we're going to come across over the next daf, and things I've been puzzling over, actually, as I've been preparing this, particularly. To come back to your original question of to what extent does the person have to look into it? The answer, I think, is quite a bit, but there will obviously be limits to that, right? Limits to that, and I guess we'll have to try and figure out ourselves what the limits are. I don't know exactly. I haven't got a clear picture as to what exactly the limits are yet. But actually, I think it goes. Yeah, this is really straight into the next piece, because Abaye actually starts off this whole discussion. So Abaye says this one. One second.
Never work with animals or children.
Indeed. So Omar Abaye, again, this is now the bottom, about 7-8 lines from the end. Omar Abaye, Reuben Shemocher Sodeh L'Shimon Ba'achrayos. So this is the key, as I said, this is sort of now introducing something which is potentially different, right? And we've got to figure out why it's different. So you've got to, so now Reuben sells his field to Shimon with Achrayos, i.e. that it does have some sort of guarantee that comes with it, right? That it has some sort of guarantee that if the creditors come and take the, you know, effectively Reuben has no money to pay and they do come and take the land, that they'll come to, Shimon obviously will have to give over the land. So what the question is, what exactly does this guarantee do, right? What exactly does this guarantee do? That's the question the Gemara is going to bring up. V'osa ba'al chov de Reuven. So now the debtor comes along, right? The person who Reuven owes money to comes to claim the money. V'torach mishimon. So he's going to come and take the money from Shimon. Dinohu, the halacha is, the ozil Reuven umishtai dina bahade. So what you can do is Reuben can basically come along and say that that you and I should fight this out, right? Not fight this out, but you and I are going to sort of have this to discuss this, right? To be part of this lawsuit. Why? because you could basically you can cut Shimon out, right? He sounds so. The question is why Reuben's doing this. That's the first question I had. The other question is the Gemara's question is what exactly is the chiddush over here, right? Like what exactly is the Gemara introducing to us? Meaning you'd expect that should work any time to an extent. Somebody wants to be very nice and say, actually, you know, I'm going to settle this debt. You don't need to go on to Shimon. But if that's what you're going to do, then that should work for anyone, I'd have thought. So the Gemara already clarifies that. V'lo motzi omarlei, they can't turn around and say, lav bal dvarim didi at. You are not the person who we're dealing with. We're going to Shimon now, and you know, you kind of stay out of it in a sense. The omarlei, because he can say to them, I mafkas mine olai hoda. Right, because if you take it from him, if you take that land from Shimon, then Olai Hodor, he's going to come back to me and get the money back from me. And since he's going to come back and get the money from me, so I'm part of this. I'm part of this at the moment, and therefore you and I can have this discussion. So the way I've understood it is as follows: that as I said, Reuben owes money. He sells the land to Shimon, and now he knows that somebody that the person who lent him money is now going to Shimon to claim the land. He doesn't want that to happen for whatever reason. So he basically steps in and says, you know, says you and I sort of are going to settle this, right? We're going to have to manage this, because he's worried that what will happen, perhaps it will ruin his reputation, for example, with Shimon, right? He'll get this reputation. If he comes to Shimon, then it's going to ruin his reputation in future as a seller, because he sold this land to Shimon, and Shimon's going to end up saying, you know, I bought land from Reuven, and Reuven is, that's really what the Gemara says in the next piece, which is as follows. Let's just go till the full stop, and then we'll sort of throw in that extra piece where the Gemara continues and changes the scenario slightly. So, but Ikad Omri, some suggest. So the first suggestion is that we're talking about here where he sold it for Achrayus with this guarantee. But now for Ikad Omri, some say Afila Shalob Achrayus. Maybe he didn't even sell it with this guarantee. There was no guarantee, Nami, right? And yet still Reuven can come along and step in and become the, I don't know if you call it the defendant, but you know, he can sort of become part of this dispute, because de'omalei, because he can say lo nichali, I do not want to end up in a situation that to have leshimon ta'arumos onai, where Shimon is going to be upset with me, right? Shimon is going to be annoyed, basically, that I sold him this land, and then, you know, a month later, someone came along and said, ah, you know, you bought that land, but actually that land, you're going to have to give me that land because Reuben hasn't paid his debts. And therefore I'm taking that land as part of those debts. So Reuben's basically saying, please come and deal with me rather than going to Shimon to deal with Shimon. So what this raises for me is a couple of different things. Number one is that, well, is the question of whether, let's say he doesn't say this, right? Let's say Reuven doesn't get involved in this court case, and they do take the land from Shimon. So and there is no achrayus, there's no guarantee. So can Shimon come back and claim back from Reuven? So now I'm less certain of that. I was relatively certain before. Now I'm less certain of that. I think what you have to say is that basically sometimes. As Phil said, sometimes it is the responsibility of the buyer to try and find out what exactly were the debts going on here. And not only that, but sometimes you can have a situation where actually everything was fine at a certain point, and you almost take that risk, right? You almost take that risk. You say, I'm happy to take the risk, you know, or I feel like things will be okay. I know that this that he has money at the moment. Reuben has money at the moment. It's true that he has debts, right? Or that he, for example, you know, he's married, right? And may end up in divorce payments. But I'm not worried about that, because I think he'll be able to pay them off, right? I think he'll be able to pay them off, and I think that will be fine. And then actually, it turns out that it wasn't fine. So again, that might be another scenario in which you don't have that claim anymore either, so you can't come back to Reuven. So I think it seems to me like there are some scenarios in which Shimon would be able to get the money back from Reuven, and other scenarios in which he would not be able to get the money back from Reuven. But what the Gemara is saying here is whether he would be able to, or even if he wouldn't be able to, he may still be able to jump in and try and settle this dispute on his own, rather than having to involve Shimon, because he simply just doesn't want to. He doesn't want to damage his reputation with Shimon, and that way he's going to sort of get involved in this case. And again, just and then we'll stop for questions and comments. Just to clarify that I think the Gemara's Kiddush over here is that even though you should be able to, that Reuben should stay out of it in a sense, because he is not one of the parties involved here. He should, in theory, say that this is between the original lender and Shimon, who now owes the land. But because Reuben, basically what Abai is saying is that Reuben is still involved enough that he's able to get involved and able to sort of stop the lender taking Shimon to court, and can say he wants him to take him to court instead. Okay, any comments or questions? In just a moment. Sorry, yes, Phil, sorry. When you say before Bet Din, I don't think there was a before, but meaning even in the times of...
No, I mean, when they go to the Beis Din, okay, the procedure, is it one where, first of all, the claimant says his side of things, then the defendant says his side of things, and then the Beis Din decides, or does the Beis Din itself ask the questions?
More than ask the questions, the Beis Din's responsibility, yeah, to find out all the facts. They are, yes, it's different. You're right, correct. Sorry. So here, you're right, in the sense you present your case. So it's a different type of system. It's not just sort of presenting a case. It's the Beis Din is there to sort of ascertain all the facts. And actually, we'll see. So Tosus here actually, okay. Is it on this? Yeah. Okay, so Tosus. It's a very good point. Okay, so maybe it's worth just seeing this, just to drive home this point that maybe it's your exact question actually. So Tosus says, this is the last Tosus, so on the right, where it says Dinahu de Ozil Reuven Bekomishdai, right? That Reuven can come along and say, I'm going to do this. So Tosus says, V'im Toma Mai Nafkamina, what's the difference, right? What do you mean? Who cares whether Reuven gets involved? Kol Masha Yochel, because he says, surely, Kol Masha Yochel Reuven Litton, anything that Reuven would be saying in court anyway, Ta'aninon Lei Leshimon. We, as a Bet Din, this concept of Ta'aninon is a very critical concept. We, as a Bet Din, must also claim on Shimon's behalf, i.e., it's not about trying to sort of present the case. The Bet Din must. Any claim that someone could make, the Bet Din has to make on their behalf, even if they don't realize that's a claim that they should be making, even if they don't realize that that's something that they should be saying. The Bet Din, as it were, acts as their advocate on their behalf, and therefore, as he says, it should be irrelevant whether Reuven is getting involved in this case or not. So I think his point here is. He gets into he answers right at the end. Actually, this whole talks about a case where you basically have proofs coming along at a later date, right? And a bit more of a complicated scenario. So I don't want to get into that. But I think at the beginning, at least from the question, it's pointing out what maybe wasn't clear. And thank you for clarifying it, which is that you need. That it's not the responsibility, it's not Shimon's responsibility to sort of make all these claims, even whether Reuven says it or not, the Bet Din should be doing that. But I think, well, at least we can, in one scenario, we can suggest that what Reuven's worried about is annoying Shimon in a sense. You know, he doesn't want to end up in this situation where Shimon is upset with him, and that's what he's trying to avoid. So maybe that's the. Maybe that's the issue over here.
Rabbi, yes. Would it not be the case though that before the creditor can come against Shimon or Levi,
you would have to go to
there's got to be a no. Surely before he's got to prove that he is owed the money, and he would have that decision from the Beis Din. before going to the ultimate owner of the land.
He can't just simply
turn up and say you owe me the money.
No, let's say he has a document. He has a document saying Reuben owes me money, you know, and he knows that Reuben doesn't have any money, so he's coming to Shimon now to claim the land.
In which case, the Beth Din doesn't need to be involved if he's got proof there and then.
Well,
I'm just saying there ought to be proof first that he owes the money.
No, there's proof that he owes the money, but for instance, you can end up with the situation where he says, I paid you already, right? Or you could say it's a forged document. Or whatever. I mean, there's all sorts of scenarios where, although you have a claim, you know, you still end up in a court. Because one person is saying you do and one person is saying I don't. Yes, all of this could be settled outside. But in a sense, we're ending up in a situation where it's not done, where that's not worked out. Okay. And just to clarify, as I said at the beginning, and hopefully throughout each of the shiurim, that I'm learning this as I go along as well. Okay, so I have zero experience as a dayan and zero experience on a bet din. So I am also figuring this stuff out as we go along and trying to understand it as best as I can. But so far as I understand it, that's the way it works. Okay. So what Abaya has said is that even though Shimon has even though the court case should be between the lender and Shimon, Reuben can step in and say, I want you to deal with me. And at first, the Gemara says that that's in a case where we're talking about where he sold it be'achrayus, using this phrase, so again, with some sort of guarantee. And then the Gemara actually said, no, that you could suggest that this is even in the case where it doesn't have achrayus, there is no guarantee. But since Reuben is worried that Shimon will be upset with him, that he's coming back to him, the phrase that he used is ta'arumot or ta'aromet, so he would, be annoyed with him. Then that's what he's trying to avoid, and therefore he's sort of stepping in at this stage. Potentially, let's say, I don't know, for example, borrowing money from elsewhere to pay back because he doesn't want to damage his reputation. As an example. I didn't see this inside. I wanted to try and find it inside, but I actually heard. Rabbi Rosner quoted from somewhere, sort of a very interesting. I don't know the answer to this because I didn't hear it fully, but I heard him mention that it's sort of a more modern day scenario with some of these things could be potentially with insurance, right? Let's say somebody wants to bypass their insurance, you owe damages to somebody, and the person says, "No, I just want to claim it straight from the insurance." In a sense, right? That's what I want to do. It's simpler for them, and he's trying to step in. So in a sense, Shimon is like the insurance company, and Reuben is the person who caused the damage. So one could first say, you know, without Abaye, you might say that actually they just go straight to the insurance. He has no right to say stop at me, right? Stop at me first. But actually, what the Gemara seems to be saying is, no, you have to stop at me first. Or I can at least say I want you to stop at me because otherwise, you know, it's going to come back to bite me. I don't want the insurance companies to raise my premiums or whatever it might be. Anyway, so I don't know exactly how that would work in halacha, but that was at least the case that was compared to this. Anyway, okay. Comment was there? Was there a comment on that? No. All right. So, Va'omer Abaye. And again, another case from Abaye. Reuven shemochar sodeh leshimon shelo ba'achrayus. So again, similar scenario. So Reuven sold his field. V'yotzu aleha asikin. So now Rashi says, what are asikin? Asikin is orin lomar shelonuhi. That now someone comes along and says, actually, that this field belongs to us, right? That there's basically this field that ends up a little bit disputed. Right, that he didn't, the original seller, i.e. Reuben, didn't have the right to sell it altogether. That's the debate. So what does the Gemara say? Ad shelo hichzik ba yochol lachzor ba. If you have not yet made a chazaka on this, and again, this is going to be a big discussion as to what exactly this means, but If you have not yet made some concrete acquisition in it, I'll say that for now, although as I said, that's not the best way to translate it. Then yochal lachzerbo, then the buyer can go back on it. Excuse me, and say it was a mistaken sale. Misha hechzikbo, once you've already done this type of chazaka, or maybe stronger than a chazaka, then ein yochal lachzerbo, he cannot go back, right? He's stuck with it. So Shimon is stuck now with this land, which not only does it have, I was going to say, not only does it have someone trying to claim it for money, but Abai doesn't say that in this particular context, but it now has someone else basically saying it never belonged to him in the first place, never belonged to Reuben in the first place. So my time, or what's the reason for this? The Omar Lay, Reuben can say it as follows. Chaita de Kitri, the Omar Lay, Chaita de Kitri, Sovart the Kabat, right? You basically chose to buy this Chayt of a Kitri, Rashi says, Sak Kashura Mole Ruach, a tied bag, right? Very big, bulky bag, which looks like it's full of stuff. But what's it full of? It's full of air, right? So you basically bought this bag full of air, i.e., you thought you were buying lots of things within it, but actually there was nothing inside it. So basically, that's his response. That's Reuven's response, and therefore Shimon is stuck with this land. Me'emas havai chazaka. Why exactly do we wait until this point? Right. What exactly is the chazaka? How exactly is the chazaka working in this case? Mikidi yaish and matzri. Right. When you have basically walked across all of the borders of the land, when you've walked across all of the borders of the land, once you've when you've sort of done something effectively to acquire this land, that is what you're that's the point at which you're now sort of stuck with your decision. So this is what I spent a long time trying to figure out, and I'm still not exactly to the bottom of this, but let's just throw in a couple of scenarios. So I think that, just to clarify, I think that you have to say that when he says I sold you a bag of air, I think this is sort of just a turn of phrase. But I think if you actually, for example, sell someone a bag of air at some exorbitant price, then that would be considered a mekachtos, and halacha, that would be considered a mistaken sale, and you would very much have a claim. You couldn't just turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry, you should have checked first. I do think that you would have to do that. But there obviously is an in-between case. So for instance, you do have the responsibility to look into something to an extent. So maybe this particular scenario is because it's very easy. All you need to do is open it up. In a sense, if you don't even sort of do the bare basics of just sort of opening up the bag or picking it up or just sort of testing it out in some sort of basic way, then actually that would be then that's in a sense your own responsibility. So I don't think this Gemara is a great place to sort of clearly demarcate what that line is. But it does say, again, you can see from this Gemara that there are some scenarios in which we would say what's called mekach ta'ot, right? That there is a mistaken sale here and the sale reverts. But the Gemara does say that actually that you almost like, but you pass a certain point where you're no longer able to say that, right? Where you, in a sense, have done your due diligence. You have signed on the dotted line potentially, and from that point, in a sense, whatever you've ended up with, and you're a little bit stuck as you could potentially be a little bit stuck as a result of that. So I think the points we need to try and figure out from this Gemara are: A, what that point is, right? Like how much due diligence do you have to do? I'm not sure this is the best Gemara to do that. But the thing that I think this Gemara does touch upon is what does that mean? Misha hechzik bo. What exactly do you have to do, right? What are the ways in which you you, what are the ways in which you acquire this land? What is the point at which you pass? And from that point on, you no longer can go back and say, "Oh, I'm very sorry. I'd like to sort of back out of this deal." We've obviously had a verbal agreement until this point, but it seems that you can back out at a certain point only ad shehichzik ba, or ad shelo hichzik ba, the Gemara says, until you have not done that. So Rashi here says that, he says as follows. Maybe it's not this Rashi. Oh, sorry, here, Timbob Matsi. Okay, so Tosafos quotes Rashi elsewhere as saying, Afagav shelo nosan ma'os de karka niknes b'chazaka, right? So he says that even though you didn't give the money yet, right, you sort of acquire it in a slightly different way. But Tosafos is not convinced of that, right? Tosafos says v'kosha, because when he says chazaka, he says there are lots of different ways to acquire land. He says money is another way to acquire the land, right? The fact that you've given the money also would work. So for it, and these are Gemaras elsewhere, but for instance, the Gemara in Baba Basra, which we referenced before, right, which talks about it, these sorts of things, clarifies that it says no'al poratz goder, basically if you do some sort of work on the land, right, you put a fence up or you take a fence down, all those sorts of things, those are other ways in which you can acquire the land, again, assuming that you've made the appropriate arrangement, but you have to do something more significant than just a chazaka, right? You can't just do a chazaka. Chazaka is something a bit weaker than that. Chazaka is basically like, it's sort of like living there, right? You sort of have to get the usage of the land. People see you about the land, that would be a chazaka, right? People see you using the land, they see you driving around the land, they see you maybe eating from the fruits of the land, they see you, you're using the swimming pool that's on this farm, maybe, right? They see you doing that. That's a chazaka. That doesn't mean that that's not enough to show ownership, but it's enough to sort of, to push us in that direction, but that's not quite enough to really do the full ownership. To show ownership is a bit stronger than that. You have to, as we said, you know, if we see you doing works on the land, then that's already that's a much stronger thing. And that already is a type of acquisition. That's a type of acquisition. That's a much, much stronger thing. So that's what I said. That's what I've really been puzzling over with this Gemara, is what exactly is the line that we draw over there, and how exactly do we decide that in a sense that you've done enough due diligence, that you've looked into this enough, and therefore you're sort of stuck with whatever you've bought. So I'm not sure exactly what that line is. Let's continue down, unless you have any questions or comments. Let's just continue down to the full stop, and then we'll take a break. So we said, come on, have a chazaka. Dominic, Chaz of Kitri, Sovras of Kavals. Okay, so you bought this bag of air. We say, Mehemis, have a chazaka. Yeah, Mehidi Yash Amatri. Okay, Vedafka Shalom Bachrai. So this is now the end of the fourth line, beginning of the fifth line at the top of Tesamit Omid Aleph. Vedafka Shalom Bachrai. Here we're talking about a case specifically where there's no guarantee. Aval be'achrayas, if there is a guarantee in this case, then lo, doesn't work. Why not? Because, because of the guarantee, right? I.e., if you have a guarantee, so even after that point, right, even after that point, you can still come back to Reuben. Shimon can still come back to Reuben and say, I'm sorry, you sold me this, you know, this dad's property. You sold me this property where somebody else is actually coming along and saying it belongs to them. Right, and because you have this guarantee, then you're, in a sense, you're able to come back to Reuben more easily. Aval ba'achrayas lo. So ve'ikad omrin, some suggest afilu ba'achrayas, even when you do have the guarantee, you still can't come back. Why? Nemar da'omar le achve tirfach va'ashalem lecha. So he says first. He says you've got to sort of basically go to the Bet Din first and get some sort of documentation for this, right? Basically, i.e., if they take it from you, let's put it like this: I buy the fields from Reuven, right? And then someone comes along and says that field belongs to me. So 5 minutes after they leave my field, I phone up Reuven and I say, I'm sorry, you sold me this field. Someone else is claiming that it belongs to them. Reuven says to me, okay, listen, the fact that they've showed up at your door and said it belongs to them is one thing. They come back to me when they've actually legally taken it from you. If they've legally taken it from you, then you have a claim against me. Then you have someone to come back to me. The fact that someone shows up and says, oh, yes, that belongs to me, that's not enough, right? So, achve tirfach ashalimlach. Once they've taken it from you, then vashalimlach. Then I'll pay you back, right? Then I'll pay you back for having sold you this land. But until they actually legally take it back from you, then that's no good. That's not something I have to worry about. Okay, so I think this is a challenging Gemara, and we've thrown in quite a lot of new types of scenarios, lots of which would have a lot of relevance to nowadays. You know, I think these are all sorts of things that people might do. You end up in these murky situations where money is owed to this one or to that one, and it's sort of passed on to the next person. A lot of misinformation, right? This sort of thing where I know that Reuven owes me money, but then once I get to Reuven, he says, oh, you've got to go to Shimon, and once I go to Shimon, he says, you've got to go to Levi, you know, and then they sort of send you in circles. So all these sorts of more complicated scenarios, or the last one that Rabbi introduced, where you buy the field from one person and someone else comes along and says it wasn't his to sell, it belonged to me. So again, these sort of challenging scenarios, as I said, we've thrown them in. I'd like to try, didn't have as much time as I wanted to this week, but I'd like to try and really maybe drill down into some of these and figure out, sort of flesh out the details of these scenarios next time if we can, and then maybe understand what are the parameters, right? What are the parameters of a lot of these issues, and how exactly do we decide? You know, who's the one who has to end up in court? Is it Reuven? Is it Shimon? To what extent can Shimon say the phrase we used before, mekach to'os, right? That there was a mistaken sale here, that the whole thing doesn't count to begin with because you've sold me something which wasn't what you said it was originally, right? You said this was a good field, and actually it's owed to somebody else, or it doesn't even belong to you in the first place. So to what extent you can do that, I think these are all things that we need to try and figure out as we go forward. And if we're okay, I think we'll stop for there now. We'll stop there for now. We'll come back in 2 weeks. Come back in 2 weeks, if that's okay. Yes? Any final questions or thoughts?
Thank you very much.
Morris, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Nice to see you.